I suppose I should start by saying something about the title for my sermon. I gave this sermon a title about 6 weeks ago or more, and so Talitha asked me if I was really going to be preaching about baseball today, and I'm not. I also told her I wasn't going to be preaching about Abbott and Costello. And don't tell her I told you this, but she didn't know who Abbott and Costello were. Anyway. This morning's lesson from Mark is about humility. It's about how in the kingdom of God, the greatest people are those who serve others. It's about how our ambition should not be about getting rich and powerful. This, by the way, is one of those spiritual principles which is shared across various religions. The Buddha, for example, is revered for having set aside wealth and power to pursue a compassionate spiritual path. And the Prophet Muhammad once urged his followers to compete or race against one another in doing what is good. And most commentators assume that means that Muslims aren't supposed to be about trying to figure out who's going to be top dog. And that sounds really good because most of us are like the disciples who are annoyed by James and John because we're annoyed by overly competitive, power-hungry types. And here in the United States, we've done away with official class distinctions. And of course, there are powerful divisions among us, divisions based on race and economic status and gender and orientation and religion and region and occupation. We do have a social hierarchy in America, but we pretend that we don't. We abolished royalty and nobility when we shook off British rule, and our founding documents envision a society in which all people are born equal. And that ideal, even if it never has become a reality, that ideal of universal equality abides in the American soul. And so it's easy for people like you and me to like Jesus' words from this morning's lesson from Mark. They call us to set aside personal ambition and to live with one another as equals, and that feels really good. Let someone else run the country. We'll just try to love God and build community and strengthen our families and earn an honest wage. That seems to be what Jesus is suggesting for us, and it feels kind of wonderful, does it not? But I'm going to be honest with you. There is a pragmatic side of me that wants to raise a word of dissent. Dissent, if not downright protest, to the idea that good people should not seek positions of leadership and power. And it's a dissent that was distilled into an argument for me while I was watching the Democratic presidential debate this last Tuesday evening. Because there on the stage in Las Vegas were five people doing exactly what Jesus is telling folks not to do in this morning's lesson from Mark. Those people were trying to become the most important and most powerful person in the world. Now, I am a member of the California Green Party, so technically, I don't have a horse in the steeplechase that is the Democratic primary. And besides, because I am a pastor, if I say too much from the pulpit about what I think relative to presidential politics, I could jeopardize our congregation's tax-exempt status. But let me confess that on Tuesday night, I was wishing all five of those Democratic hopefuls well, because even though I would love to see a political transformation in the United States, the likes of which I suspect no candidate currently running is capable of pulling off, still, as I watched that debate, I was mindful of the last two debates staged by a major American political party, and it was hard not to suspect that at least four of the five Democratic hopefuls would make a better president than at least 10 of the 11 hopefuls that participated in the last two primary debates. And just in case someone from the IRS is sitting in this sanctuary or listening to this sermon online, let me say that what I've just said represents my own opinion and not the opinion of Montclair Presbyterian Church, the Presbytery of San Francisco, or the Presbyterian Church USA. It is kind of odd that because in the United States, tax laws render pulpits one of the few places in America where the First Amendment's guarantees to freedom of speech and religion are somewhat compromised. But that's for another sermon or something. I don't know. So, here's the question that I was asking myself as I watched that debate and as I was thinking about the lesson that I needed to preach a sermon on today, should good people not run for president? Are the five leading Democrats and the major Republican candidates violating some kind of basic rule of morality by seeking employment in the Oval Office? Are these ambitious men and women being like the apostles who asked Jesus for the privilege of sitting in the places of highest honor in the kingdom of God? It would seem so. But then, if good people don't seek positions of leadership, doesn't that mean that only bad people will become our leaders? Should our morality and our spiritual health, our morality and our spiritual health, really condemn us to 8 years of a Donald Trump administration? Honestly, I've seen this principle play out in the church from time to time, where frequently the best pastoral jobs and the biggest and most influential congregations go to pastors whose primary ambition, or so it seems to me, is self-advancement, while the truly compassionate, intelligent pastors with deep integrity crash and burn while working in obscurity, serving dysfunctional and unappreciative congregations, and the whole church suffers as a result. So as a pragmatist, I find Jesus' teaching a little bit problematic. I want good people to have high ambitions because I want to live in a world where compassionate, moral, and kind people are our leaders. Well, lucky for me, I'm a Presbyterian, which makes me a Calvinist. And that's a tradition that offers a solution to the problems relative to Jesus' suggestion that we should shun the ambition to lead. John Calvin was of the opinion that everyone is called by God to serve God in any number of capacities. And that includes leadership in government, business, academia, the church, and anywhere else that may need leaders. However, and this is a very big however, for Calvin, just as God calls some people to be leaders, God also calls people to be laborers, teachers, watchmakers, clergy, bartenders, lawyers, farmers. The list of ways in which God calls us is endless, and according to our tradition, every call from God is to be considered equal, the same. And in each of our callings, we are to glorify God by serving our fellow human beings, which is to say that God calls each of us equally and in various capacities to make the world a better place by working for peace and justice together as equals, following our various callings. We are to be servants. We are to create beauty and care for the poor and build an economy that safeguards the common good. That is our work. In this morning's lesson, Mark tells the story of a time when James and John came up to Jesus and asked Jesus to make them the number two and three guys in the kingdom of God, which they seem to have thought would have been an earthly realm even this far into Jesus' ministry, which at this point in the story is about 2 weeks from the end. And Jesus tells them they are full of baloney, that God will call people to sit at his right and left side, but only God knows who those people will be. And in the meantime, if anyone wants to be great, that person should strive to be a servant. Jesus is calling us to forget about status and focus on doing good. And yet, when most of us read the story, we're still focusing on the status. We're thinking about whether or not it's okay to seek power or to be leaders, to be very important people. And the answer seems to be no. And that either makes us sad because we're being told to keep our ambitions in check, but it also might make us glad that others are supposed to be checking their ambition too, because we're all sort of competitive. Or it makes us smug in our lack of worldly status. Either way, we're still focusing on status. But if Calvin is right, and I think he is, then we're supposed to skip right by questions of status and focus instead on the work of serving others. The question shouldn't be, will I be a powerful leader or a humble follower? the question should be, how best can I serve others? If we serve others best as political leaders or as business tycoons, so be it. If our service is strongest when we're painting or dancing or building houses or fixing Subarus, that's just as good. We should dispense with the question of status altogether and focus entirely on the question of service. What is the capacity in which I will best serve others? One of the privileges of living in a democracy is that we get to vote. Even as we discern how God is calling us to serve others, by voting, we get to help others discern their calling. Because we get to help others, we get to choose who will play the role of leader. And as we consider who will be our next president, I hope that we can help the candidates discern what God may be calling them to do. And I hope we will do this by voting for the candidate of either party who will do the best job of serving others, the best job of safeguarding the well-being of God's children living in the United States and around the world. In fact, we live in a society where we get to choose all kinds of leaders. We get to choose leaders in the church. We get to choose leaders in the community. Some of us are in the position in our jobs where we get to hire people who will be leaders. That is to say that in one way or another, just about all of us have the privilege of helping others discern their calling in life. And if when we choose our leaders, we will commit to choosing those who will be the best servants, those who will safeguard the well-being of others, those who will seek to improve our communities and our institutions and our world, if we can do that, then I suspect we will be doing humanity a great service. And we will be giving expression to the kingdom of God. And at the very least, we will be practicing the kind of transformative politics that I long to see in our country and in our world. Amen.